God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you, and I believe you can unmute. Slide through and see if I see anyone. No, all righty. Right, this is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And tonight we will be discussing step three. Let's go ahead and welcome our panel. We have Calvin and Iran. Alrighty. So here in a moment, I'm going to share the first reading and each of the panel will share. While I'm reading this, y'all can, I don't know, I think y'all live together, fight for who's going first. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. First reading will be on page 60. And it says, our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. All right, Iran or Calvin? You're muted, Iran. I don't know if you were going or not, but you're muted.
Yeah, he just pointed at me, so I'm assuming I'm going first. So that's where we're at. My name is Iran, real alcoholic. It's an honor to be of service. And thank you so much for asking me to be here. Can you hear me? Clearly? How about now? Okay, good. All right, there we go. All right, so... First of all, I love drinking. I love the effect that's produced by alcohol. Love what it did to me. And I love chasing that for a very long time until it didn't work anymore. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous the first time with still ideas left in me. So it gave me an opportunity to go back out and have a few more drinks. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous with a WWA, which is a well-whipped ass. And so I came ready and willing to try to do what you guys offered me to do. And I started doing what you guys suggested for me to do. And I did have a really big problem with God. I guess when I got here, that was the biggest fight. I was born Baptist. I was raised Baptist. And I was going to hell for who I was. And that's sort of my biggest problem even today with my family. My mom just, you know, tells me I got to get good with God. And I'm thinking, I just want don't like your God, and I don't like what it represents for me as a human being. But you guys didn't ask me to have a Baptist God, you asked me to seek God. I love the statement that we were alcoholic and could not manage our lives. That was a check for me when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was definitely somebody who could not manage my own life. I have a problem with managing my life still today when I try to take control. And probably no human power could have relieved me or alcoholism. I believe that with all of my heart and my soul, I could not at all try to stop drinking on my own. There needed to be a human power to do that. And I discovered that human power by taking those first actions in Alcoholics Anonymous, by really following a sponsor, going through all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that God could and would if he were sought. And I guess a lot of times I find that I used to think that was like step three, God could and would if he were sought, but I find that that's a lot of all the other steps, step nine, making those amends when God could and would, when I sought to believe and trust the power greater than myself, the belief that I got from those things. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was the guy who couldn't believe in God, this guy who had a problem relinquishing power of my horrible life. It became Alcoholics Anonymous, not homeless, bump, pissed on himself. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous broken. When I got here, you guys offered me a different way of life. But you know, when I got here, I just was like, expected everything to be rainbows and unicorn farts for the rest of my life if I did these things that you offered to me. But I discovered that life is not supposed to be perfect. Life is supposed to be lived. And I think that's where that seeking of God comes from. Like, the more I live, the more I try to take these actions, the more I do the things that I'm looking to do here in Alcoholics Anonymous, the more I have life, and life has problems that bring me back to this unmanageability. You know what I mean? That comes like, all right, no human power can relieve me of this. You know, and then all of a sudden, God couldn't. Where am I going to seek God in this? Where do I seek God in this? And for me, it's been a lot just asking for help. I'm like, I don't know how to do this anymore. I don't know about my finances anymore. I don't know about my life anymore. I don't know how to do this anymore. Someone please help me. And taking direction through that. And that's all I learned when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's always come back to those same things. No matter what my problem is, it's probably unmanageable based on my powerlessness, my alcohol, my mind, and thinking. And if I know human power could have ever relieved me of that. And I've tried. But God couldn't, what if he sought? And doesn't say seek, like it was the final thing. It's a sought, which means a continual moment of my life. And I have to remember that every single day, that this is about seeking God, constantly trying to find where I can relinquish my power to give God all of his. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks. Calvin?
Is it my turn? Is that me? Okay. I'm Calvin. I have a sponsor. He's pretty okay. I have a home group. I like that place. It's downtown Young and Sober. They meet Thursdays at 8 on Zoom, but normally in downtown Norfolk. And I have a sobriety date, and that is January 16th, 2018. That sounds right. So step three, I always had an issue with it. I got here and I did not realize that I had a drinking problem. I mean, I knew it was an issue, but I didn't understand quite how bad it was. I was living in my car at the time. I wandered into this meeting for the first time, my first AA meeting that I ever remember. Apparently I went to one when I was like 16 and I don't know. But this is the first one I willingly was like, I need help, right? So I'm sitting there with my dad on the phone at like noon on a Monday and I'm like, I need help. He's like, I haven't talked to you in 7 months. What do you mean? And I'm like sitting in the McDonald's drive-thru getting in a fight with this dude because he just wouldn't take my order. And so I'm driving around and my dad's like, just fucking calm down, bro. I'm sorry for cursing. But yeah, and so, you know, and he said to me something that I still haven't forgotten to this day. He's like, if you meet three assholes in one day, the odds are you're the asshole. And I was like, oh, you're right. I'm drunk. Help. And he was like, okay, I'm going to give you the number of this guy. Call him. He's going to help you, right? I called this dude and he didn't answer. And so my dad looked up the Tidewater Intergroup and he was like, all right, this meeting's like 3 miles away from where you're stationed, go. And I was like, okay. And he didn't know I was living out of my car at the time because my ex-wife had left me. It was complicated. I didn't tell anybody anything. I was very private. And so I wandered into this meeting and these guys looked at me and both of them are in this meeting and they go, damn, man, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, right? This is how I remember this conversation. And I had no idea that they knew that I was new. But I had like burn holes in my jacket. I've been wearing the same jacket for like 4 months, right? And I think it was like November. I was dying. I was like shaking. I was drunk. I was definitely drunk, right? And I was like, how do these guys know that I'm struggling? And I wandered into that meeting and I was like, I raised my hand that I'm an alcoholic and I don't know why I did that. And the next night I went to a meeting called at the Easy Does It Center, and it was nothing like the meeting that I had just been to. And I was like, what is this? This isn't right. And I called Seth, and I was like, dude, I need to go to a meeting. And he was like, okay. And then I went to a meeting the next day. And then that night I went to a meeting, and then that night I was drunk again. And I was like, oof, didn't see that one coming. And then it was like that for about 4 months. I couldn't figure out why. And then I remember being cornered at this meeting called Candlelight by a group of guys. And I don't think they cornered me, but in my head I was like backed up, and they were like, if you don't figure it out, man, it's a step three problem. Everything's a step three problem. You just got to give it to God. And I was like, God's not real. And they were like, oh, you'll figure it out, man. I was like, I got to go back to work. And I didn't go back to work. I stopped at 7-Eleven, got 240s, and wound up somewhere 2 days later. I don't know. Right. But then I was tripping balls on acid one night, and I was wanting to die. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 2018. And I was a fifth down. I'd smoked a lot of DMT. And I was just rolling balls, man. I had no idea what I was doing. And I leaned over and I was like, I'm going to die today. I was like, I'm fucking done, dude. I puked all over my bed. I still have this mattress. Puke comes out of mattresses, and they're expensive. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. All right. So I'm rolling around in this bed, man. And I'm like rolling out the window, and I'm like, the window's open. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was like, if I fall out this 2-story bedroom that I'm renting from my friend and his pregnant wife, if I fall on my neck right now in the right way, I could die. And then I shit you not, this squirrel man, it looked at me, and it was just like God had spoken to me. And he was like, you need to do something with your life, man. And I was like, you're right, squirrel. Let's do this. And so I got a phone call, and I was like, hello. All fucking geeked out, man, tripping balls. The walls are moving. I can't feel myself, but I can feel myself breathe. You know that feeling? It's bad. And so I pick up the phone, and it's my sponsor at the time. And he's like, I'm coming to get you. And I was like, what? How do you have my phone number still? And he's like, you gave it to me. And I was like, how do you know where I live? I dropped you off last week when you were drunk. And I was like, all right, man, I don't know where my car is at. And he's like, okay, we're going to go find it and go to a meeting. So that happened, man. And so that's honestly, that's how I discovered the belief of a power greater than myself, tripping balls on acid, talking to a squirrel, and having the right person call at the right time so I didn't fall out of a building and kill myself. And our description of the alcoholic, man, this A, B, and C, it was explained to me when I went through the book with a sponsor that was properly armed with the facts about himself, that these are the first three steps. And it's cut plain dry, right? The beginning of this is all to convince you. It's a trick, man. They get you. They're like, you're not an alcoholic. Oh, are you? Did you do this? And it's like, they'll get you, man. Read it. I'm telling you. But if you're real, if you need simple shit like me, right, you don't need to be tricked. You're willing to do anything. This shit. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. Yes. B, that probably no human power could have relieved their alcoholism. I am a very small man. I am 5'6 on a good day, 140 soaking wet, and I could do anything. I could move fucking mountains. And truth is, I couldn't even help myself stop drinking. I'd become a man that I didn't recognize, and it scared the hell out of me. And C, that God couldn't would if he ever saw it. Since January 16, 2018, I've been seeking God every day of my life. I don't understand why. I don't know why I've been given this gift, but I have. And it is the best life I could have ever asked for. I don't regret a damn thing that I've done. I accept it, and I've moved on from it. And that is because of working these steps. Back to you, Morgan.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you both. I was about to start reading without screen sharing. My bad. All right. The next reading is also on page 60. Being convinced we were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Just what is it do we mean by that? And just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we were almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But, as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Back to you, Iran.
It won't let me unmute. There it is. Can you hear me better now? Yeah, good. All right, cool. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. He's forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. That is exactly how I live. I wanted, I wanted my mother, instead of giving me up for birth, if she would just come back in my life and everything would be perfect because I'll be the perfect son. She'll be the perfect mother. And if she didn't treat me that way. So I'm going to go to college. I'm going to manage my relationships. And they don't treat me the same way they should be treated. They don't act the way they should. They're just not good people. I'm going to fix all these things about them and then end up being the person who gets drunk and high and trash. Because once I start, I'm not going to stop. Every single time I try to control something or manipulate it to make it better, because I'm going to make it better. I'm a better maker. And if they just do what I do, then it would be all good. And then I'd the one who ended up getting drunk. I was the one who was miserable. I was the one. And I tried every single thing. I love that we could, and then when I get too drunk, then I'm going to, I got another idea. Let me go fix it. I'm going to become selfish and I become dishonest. I start lying to people. I start telling untruths. I start being like, selfish about how what I'm giving, what I'm not giving, what I'm allowing you to be in my life, how much. If you just do what I want you to do, you're not going to freaking do that. I'll show you. I'll steal from you. I'll lie to you. I'll do everything I possibly can to get things to work my way. It doesn't, because I think I deserve it. I think I'm the best person in the world, and I think I deserve. I've worked really hard. I've had a shitty life. People have treated me absolutely crappy, and I want the best thing for you and for me so we can have happy, joyous, free lives. But you don't want to do that. But guess what? I'll get drunk at you. That's my favorite thing. I'm gonna drink at you. Yeah, I got you now. Who's playing in the gutter? Who's like homeless? Who added crystal meth? You know what? Let's shoot it up. Let's make it work. You know, like my life is spent. Like I'm going to get you, but I'm the one getting myself. That's my favorite thing about an alcoholism. I love it. Like that. When it says that first requirement. Right, is that we may be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost in collision with something or somebody. And that's how, and when I realized, like, that's how I spent my life, in collision with something or somebody. That's how I always spent my life, trying to get something out of someone so that I can feel better, so that I can be better, so I can be a better person. I never understood that just being me was good enough. And I didn't realize that until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, because I drank my problems away. I did other stuff to get rid of my life because I didn't like the way I lived. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous to learn the truth about like who I really am. Like, I don't have a drinking problem. I have a sober problem. I don't like the way I am. So I drink at it. I do anything at it, you know? And then you guys are like, God's the solution. How is God a solution to this drinking problem, this thinking problem, how is God the solution? And it came to me like it's not that God is the solution. God is the answer to my problems. When I start seeking God and looking for something outside of myself, I discover a lot of different things. I discover Alcoholics Anonymous at first. Then I discovered the trust and truth in a sponsor. Then I found that, I have some boys that I hang out with, you know, and some girls that I love. You know what I mean? Then I'm like, oh, and then all of a sudden in that discovery, I found God. But I didn't find God like I thought I was going to find, like, you know, sitting there floating. I found God in these stages of understanding how I live and survive and communicate with other human beings. The less selfish I am, the less control I want, the less manipulation I want of every single person. The more I found
the God in each human being, which led me to God in myself. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Iran. Do you, Calvin?
Yes, Calvin, alcoholic. It was explained to me when I first, like, was honestly started trying that, like, self is the problem. And my mom and dad are both sober. My mom just had like 35 years or something crazy, just like an ungodly amount of sobriety in my household growing up. We're not doing that. My siblings, my cousins, we were like, we're going the opposite way. My parents were like, we should have seen this coming. Like, alcoholism runs in the family. Like, you know, it's fine. You know, but my mom used to say, if I'm not the problem, there is no solution. And it's the truth. Every problem in my life today is because I am in the way. And I take step three is my everyday go-to, the third step prayer every day, because it's the easiest way for me to live. So before I got here, I was trying to manage. I wanted the perfect girl with the perfect job and the perfect house with the perfect dog. Well, at one point she left, she took the dog, she took the car, the house got fucking foreclosed. It was like everything fell apart, right? And I was like trying so hard to just manage it. I was trying to push it together. Here I am, this 21-year-old kid who's like, I got it figured out, man. I'm going to do my whole life before I'm 25, because nobody lives past 27, you know? And that's so, it's like, looking back, I'm just like, what is wrong with you, man? You had your whole life ahead of you, and here you are trying to control all these things from the time you could walk until you're fucking now, to this day. I still try to control everything. It's the weirdest shit in the world. I want to take my car because I like to drive, because I like to decide when I can go. I like to pick up my friends because I'm not letting them go, because I'm going to kidnap their ass. You know, it's the weirdest thing in the world to me, how I think. And I know what I'm doing today. That's the problem, right? When I got here, I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't be like, that's selfishness and self-centeredness. That's my problem. Today, it's like, yep, I'm doing this for me. I know I shouldn't do this. And then it always bites me in the ass. At work, I'll be doing something and I'll be like, I'm going to cut this corner. And then 2 days later, somebody catches that corner that got cut. You know, it's insane to me that even though I know it works, I will still try to find a way around it every day. Unless I'm in constant contact with my higher power, who I choose to call God. It's weird, man. I find that God gives me the opportunity today to take A or B. And it's usually that simple. I'm given a choice. And it's, I don't know if it's like this for anybody else, but I can usually see it. A will take me down a certain road and B will take me down a certain road. And I'll make that choice if I'm presented an opportunity. And usually I'll say yes to the correct choice. But sometimes I won't, because it doesn't feel good and it doesn't feel right. And then every time I get bit in the ass by that choice that felt right, just because I wanted to feel that little bit of relief for a second, you know? And when it came to drinking, I would drink at you. I would drink because of you. I would drink because I had a good day or a bad day. I would drink because I was controlling the situation or I wasn't controlling the situation. And it was just the weirdest thing. And I couldn't figure it out. And when I got here, I didn't understand that that was because I was trying to control it. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, I see all these other people, my friends, getting blackout drunk every weekend. And yet I'm the one who's sitting here in this fucking AA meeting. What is wrong with me? Didn't make sense to me, because I drank with people who drank like me. And that's the truth, because they probably have problems. I don't talk to any of them anymore because they kind of cut me out of their life when I started talking about God all the time. You know, but I surrounded myself with people that drank like me. Shut up. With people that drank like me and who talked like me and walked like me, because it was comfortable and nobody questioned that shit. My wife left me and I was living in a fucking one bedroom apartment with 9 dudes sleeping on an air mattress behind the couch with another dude who was my best friend. It wasn't weird. I liked him. He called me the other day for the first time in 2 years. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. God's weird. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you both. And I love Iran's laugh commentary that I can hear through your video. It's amazing. All righty. Our next reading is going to be on page 62. Selfishness and self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our troubles. driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some point in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later place us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. I ran off to you.
Hi. First of all, I just would like to say I realized my current sponsor, he was like, you should read this every day. And so I stopped reading it for a while. And then I was like, I think he said every day. He didn't say stop reading it. I probably should start reading this again every day. So I just want to say it out loud so I can be held accountable to every day. So that's where we're at. All right. But my favorite part of this, I love this section so much because it really brought a lot up for me. Selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. The thing that I think I skip over all the time, when I first read it, I used to think it said driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, yes. But I always skipped over the line that says driven by 100 forms of fear. That line really stands out to me because fear to me, I used to think when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't have any fear. I was like the almighty Iran. Oh, you know what I mean? Like I was like, I'm not afraid of anything except for everything. I'm afraid of not being good enough. You know what I mean? Like being horrible, lied to. I'm afraid of being alone, dying, living, being loved, not being loved. You know what I mean? Like fear of being liked, but not liked for who I, like there's a 500 billion things that I'm a fear of, and I live in fear of not living up to my own expectations. And I'm driven by these fears, they drive me absolutely batshit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, trying to find the honeycomb hideout in the Fruit Loops, not Crackle Pop. You know what I mean? Like they drive me to this place of crazy that allows me to be sort of lost from my own self, which leads me to this idea of self-pity and this where I'm like still, I'm really not good enough. Well, you know what? A drink will take care of that. You know what? Why don't you go find someone and go, you know, have some sex. You know what's good? Why don't you go spend some money you ain't got? Let's go shopping. You know, like this fear will lead me to go do stuff that keeps leaving me in another form of this fear, another form of this delusion that it's going to be different instead of seeking God. It's going to be different instead of doing AA. It's going to be different instead of doing these steps. It's going to be different if you do something else, but don't worry about God. He'll always be there, but I always might not make it back to him. And I'm discovering that a lot. And then, then the other thing that sits out for me is above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of the selfishness. We must, what kills us. And my sponsor, we were chatting a couple of weeks ago about a lot of stuff that was going on in my life. And he just said that simple line, we must be rid of this selfishness. And I was like, I ignored it. And then about an hour later, I was like, oh my God, I'm totally being selfish. How did I miss that? Like, oh my God, God, save me. And I went right into the third step prayer. But it's like this, I can't see this by myself. And even if you put the truth in front of me, I will miss it. So unless I'm willing to sit back and rethink, and I honestly believe without having the steps or being able to just go, what did this day look like? Let me go over this day in my head. What is going on? Oh, where should I be wrong? Where should I think about where I'm being selfish? I'm in every single aspect of my life. When it came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I could have never seen that. I really believe that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, this third step is about It's about the beginning of saying, I don't want to live the way I want to live anymore. And it's about as God has understood them, which means that I don't have to understand. I don't have to figure it out. If I'm an atheist, if I'm a God-hating person, if I'm a religious person, I still don't know God. It's about being prepared to take actions in spite of how I think. Taking actions in spite of how I feel, and taking action in spite of the fear of the unknown, the selfishness, the self-pity that comes along with not knowing God. I was a 32-year-old man or something when I got here. I was like, I should know God. I should know everything about everything in the world. I am a smart man. Why can't I figure this out? But the truth of the matter was, I am so full of my own thoughts and actions. I can't understand God. And I should never be able to, because he's a God. If he is, probably should relook at it. But I still sometimes think, I've been here long enough. Let me figure it out. But I think this is not about trying to figure it out. It's about trying to do something about it. The actions I take in Alcoholics Anonymous always have led me to understand God a little bit better, to see where I can see God and hear God in my life, to take a different action. I think that's all that is. It's like, I can't make this because I'm so full of these different forms of fear. I'm so full of this self-pity, this delusion that I'm going to figure it out. I have got to be ready to be willing to just take actions that put me in a place where God can use me and help me and save me, so where I have no control over it. And the other thing in that thing is, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. That is like, I wish I would love to say like there was another way when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. But the only thing I've ever seen to get me out of this are the actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, which have led me to be really close to a power greater than myself, which I choose to call God today, which I choose to have discussions with about how I should live or what I think. And then he laughs at me and something falls apart. And then I go crying to another alcoholic about how pitiful it is. And they remind me of like, hey, what are we doing? Have you called somebody? Why don't you go call blah, blah, blah? Why don't you go do this? And then these actions. The actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, these simple things you told me, call people, stay in touch. These have always led me back to the seeking of God. My God relationship is based on further steps. You know, like my relationship with God are really contingent on these other steps. But the third step relationship has got me an opportunity to clear away my crap just long enough so that God can use me the way he wants to. And I've seen that action over and over again. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Mute. All right. And I don't know how to follow that. That's messed up. All right. So our troubles. Shut up. self-delusion, fear, self-seeking, and self-pity. That's my go-to every time. Poor me, poor me. It's everybody else's fault. Self-delusion. I live in that shit. I am to this day delusional about every situation I'm in until someone pokes a hole in it. Because I can't see it because I'm inside of it. It's the insanity that I live in. I don't know. And these troubles we think are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcohol is like an extreme example of self-will run riot. I mean, it's me to a T. When I read this, it makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. It makes me sad. It makes me fearful. And it shrieks. Some people like gives hope. It's like, it's an answer. Like, no, to me, it's like a mirror being held up at myself. And it's like, this is where you're messed up, man. Find God. And for somebody like me, it's like really hard some days to keep searching for God, to keep trying to look for God. And I do every day of my life. I try and I wake up and I pray and I go to bed and I pray, but some days it's hard. And I don't want to call other people anymore. When I first got sober, I had like this fire lit under my ass. It was like, let's go. Hey, hey. We're going to save some drugs. We're going to go get in the car. Cause like, I still have my license. Right. And it was like a miracle that I still had my license. And people are like, you have a car, you have your license, go pick up drunks. And I got in with this like really cool group of people. And we rode around, we went to like 8 meetings a week and we like just stayed together. And then I went on deployment, and then one by one, they all just kind of fell away. They moved away. They got drunk. They got a kid. They got married. They had a life. And I was just still here. And I got back and I was like, where is everybody? You know, because I had surrounded myself with AA. I was being of service so much to AA that I forgot Like, I have a life to live. And I realized that pretty recently, like within the last 6 months, that like, yes, Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life, but it does not have to be my entire life. And for so long, it was the only thing I did was like, I woke up, worked, went to a meeting and like found a newcomer. Like that was it every day. I found somebody to pick up. I was making coffee. I was being of service. And I think that's what I needed in my life, was to be of constant service. So I didn't think about me. And that's God, man. That's nothing I did, because that is not my go-to. My go-to is not to pick people up and waste my gas money, because I'm a cheap fuck. Absolutely. I do not want to drive to Birdneck to go pick up this kid while my girl's making lasagna and not get to eat the lasagna, you know, because that's what I want to do. But this kid called me and I was like, all right, let's go. I got my boy in the car. We went and picked him up, took him to a meeting, and he never called me back. And I still have resentments against this kid. I don't know where he's at. I've told my sponsor about it. I've prayed about it, but I'm still upset that lasagna was gone and I missed that family dinner. But that's it. That's the answer. If you're new and you don't know what to do and you can't stop drinking, my best answer is find a sponsor and be of service. Just from day one, constantly. If you don't know what that means, you can figure it out. Ask somebody. That means pick up the phone, call somebody to get them out of their head. That means go to a meeting and find somebody who's worse off than you. Because I guarantee it, no matter how shitty you feel, there's some dude sleeping behind New Day right now. Or there's some dude sleeping behind some clubhouse who doesn't have a home and they need something to do. I guarantee it. I found them all the time sitting outside of 7-Eleven. Hey, man, want to go to a meeting? Trust me. If they're sitting outside of 7-Eleven, they're drunk. They've been to a meeting before. They'll probably say yes for the warmth. That is just someone to hang out with. I'm not recommending you pick up homeless people. That's super dangerous. But I'm not saying I haven't done it, because I'm freaking crazy. When I get up here, all right, story time. Okay, so I'm sitting there. I'm losing my mind. I'm at the intersection of Granby and like right next to the Coke factory, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm blaring screamo music. And I'm like dying, right? And this homeless guy, right? He comes up and he knocks on my window. He goes, hey, man, are you all right? And I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. The homeless guy just asked me if I'm all right.
Calvin, your volume went out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're back.
Okay. Whatever. Anyway, the guy, he was in my car. I took him to the homeless shelter. We rode around for a while. It was pretty tight. Selfishness and self-centeredness is my problem every second of every day. And unless I'm actively working to get out of self, I am not doing this. And that is what needed to be beat into my head, is that if you're not actively trying to help somebody, which is what I try to do every day, whether it's in AA, at work, on the corner, I don't give a flying shoot anymore who it is. I'm helping them. I'm not going to give you the shirt off my back unless I got another shirt in the car. But if I have another shirt, I'll probably give you my shirt. That's where I come from. That's how I was raised, is that if you got it, they got it. It's where I come from. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. Sorry about that. It just like totally, you were talking and it just stopped.
It's fine. I'm used to it.
Alrighty. Next reading will be on page. Oh, why is it going so quick? It's also going to be on page 62. And whoa, what am I doing here, man? All right. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, we are his agents. He is the father and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of a new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. I ran.
Okay. All right. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. So when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not know that I was the Almighty God. I did not know that I was managing my life into a point of ridiculousness. And then I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't understand that I was still trying to manage my life as soon as I got here. Manage my sobriety. I'll do as much as I want to do. Because I first did the 8 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I did the 8 steps of alcohol, because I was unwilling to make amends. And I was like, let me do the, I'm not doing that 9 step. Who cares? I did 8. I'll be able to survive. Because I've most of my life, in my thoughts, in hindsight, I can see the truth. But in my belief, most of my life, I've spent most of my life doing half of something, getting good results. So I figured if I did 8 steps, I'd be just as fantastic. But what that got me was misery, pain, disgust, ready to kill myself. So I took a train from Oregon all the way back to Virginia. I didn't invite myself into I didn't call my parents or talk to them. I took a bunch of pills in Richmond, woke up in a house in Hampton, in a hospital in Hampton. And they put me in the loony bin for my own safety. And I called my mom from there, and she didn't even know I was in Virginia. And she answered the phone, and she said, "I ran you in Virginia." And I was like, "Yes." I tried to kill myself, and I ended up here in Virginia. And she was like, "So," and she didn't say anything. And she's like, "Yeah, you can stay with me." And I asked her if I could stay with her. She said, "Yes." And then, I guess the thing was, like, this is what I bring to the table. Like, I don't bring any joy or peace or love or kindness or like consideration to my family. I bring misery and pain and disgust and heartache and financial burden every single time I come, and that's what I bring to the table when I play God, you know. And it just didn't work anymore, and I wasn't willing to do, still wasn't willing to do all 12 steps until I met someone, and we went to this meeting in downtown Young and Sober, and there was a 16-year-old girl who was doing Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that time, she was doing Alcoholics Anonymous. She had a sponsor at a home group, and she had done all 12 steps. And I was like, I guess it's my turn to go. So I was like, I know if the 16-year-old girl can do it, I know I can. So I started doing all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in quitting playing God, the funny thing is, like, I don't think I ever quit playing God. I gave God enough time to manage my life until I was ready to take it back over. But I love that in that thing where it says, hereafter in this drama of life, God is going to be our director. And then I remember, like, I was like 3 years sober. And I was like, I don't know, as an actor, really, I can act my way. You know, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. So I had this idea that I had to be this conductor, right? So I'm going to conduct this orchestra, right? I've got it going on, but I'm really horrible because I don't know how the flutes play and how they go with the trombones and like how any of that stuff goes together. I'm just a horrible person, so I got to learn how to step down. So I stepped down to be a triangle player, right? So I'm just going to be this triangle player, and then when you point to me, God, I'm a ding, ding, see? I'm good. It's that simple. Ding, ding. That's all I got to do. But, you know, of course, sometimes I go ding, 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 you know, because I want to manage some stuff because but I think those managing moments in my life are built for me to take my life back, to see how quickly I go back to God. How quickly am I going to take these actions? How quickly am I going to do what's right in front of me to know the difference that I am playing God and managing my life? And so I love that most ideas are simple, right? And this concept of this keystone is a new triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. And that's what I've always wanted in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what I've always wanted in my life, this way to walk to freedom. You know, this thing where there's like I don't have to manage. It's not going to be so painful. It's going to happen. Life's going to happen. Like, life happens. People die. Things happen. You lose money. Money falls apart. You get sick. Things happen in life because life, if I didn't get sober to not live it, I got sober to live it. And while I'm living, things happen. But the freedom is that I don't have to drink or think about a drink or go absolutely batshit crazy while walking this road with other people. That freedom is that with God in my life, this power that is greater than myself, walking with me and all of you here today, I get an opportunity to walk with not such a heavy burden and not feel so lost. I don't feel so lost today. And that's a miracle for a guy like me, to not be so lost and to have help in a direction that will look like something that looks like more freedom than I've ever expected in my life. That's what I've got.
Yeah, so this the way this is written is beautiful, and I love it every time I read it, and I also hate it because, again, it's just true. It's me, and it's playing my part. It's very hard. It's very hard because I want to be in charge. I want to be that guy. I've always wanted to be that guy. When I saw a movie, I was like, I'm Bruce Willis in Die Hard. Absolutely. I'm jumping off that building. That's me in this show. I'm Harry Potter because I'm the main character. But the truth is, I'm not the main character. And that my ego gets the best of me every time. And again, that bubble needs to be popped. And if I don't stay close to God as I understand him, it doesn't work. And it's the weirdest thing, man. When I find myself drifting, I can feel it today. I can feel myself just pulling away from that. And I start going, okay, I know what's up. I get a little bit more power at work. And I'm like, dance, my puppets, dance. And then the puppets start fighting each other because those puppets aren't meant to be together. That's not how those puppets work. It's not even a puppet. They're people, you know? And then in my head, it's just ruined. And then no one does what you want them to do. And that's what's so upsetting because it's like when you draw out like a football play, right? And you go, okay, so this is how the defense is supposed to work. And I don't like football. I don't know why I'm using this metaphor, but that's it, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like you move up, you like angle it or some shit. I don't know. I played soccer. But that's really what it comes down to. But no one does that, right?
Now you're muted.
Why'd you mute me? Is it because I messed up football? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, I tried to mute David because he was unmuted and I accidentally hit you. I'm sorry, dude.
It's all good. But yeah, that's where it comes from. Because as you expect the team to move forward and block and do all these things that they're supposed to, there's always the one kid in the corner getting high. And there's always the one kid in the corner who doesn't know how to work a wrench. And there's always the one kid who never shows up to fucking practice. And then everyone makes me so angry. And I went through rehab, right? The Navy was like, you're 2 months sober. It's time to go to rehab. And I was like, you all couldn't have sent me when I was dying. Like I've gone through DTs twice now. Like, right. And then, so they were like, okay, go. And I was like, all right, fine. And I went in there and I was like, I know what I'm doing. I got 2 months of sobriety. I'm going to AA. I know what I got a sponsor. This is the big book. And they were like, dude, what are you doing? And I was so angry. Right. And I didn't realize how angry I was until people started being like, dude, calm down. And apparently I was pretty upset when I got here. I don't know. I maybe. Don't nod your head. And the anger I realized came from a lack of control. And that was the biggest. I am so grateful for them to send me to treatment because that's where I found that out. Is that when I am disturbed because something's not in the right place or the right spot or they're not doing what I want them to do, it's because I don't have control of that situation. And it just drives me insane because why won't you do what I'm wanting you to do? And some people express that in like different ways, like drinking, right? That was me. I would drink because I didn't have control of the situation. But then you couldn't drink anymore, right? Calvin, you gotta stay sober, right? So then you're just this ball of fucking anger that wants to tear everything apart. You don't know why, and the world's not working out, and it's control. It's because you're not giving it to God. It's that simple, Calvin, right? But it is that simple, is if you just give it away, you realize you have no control over anything in your life. People are going to do whatever they want to do every day, and all you can do is sometimes, maybe, control.
I did not mute you this time. It just stopped. We can't hear you. You're not muted.
What is happening? Can you hear me
now? Oh my God. This is going to go down in history of.
Is this yes? Is this.
Can you, okay. The most technical difficulties so in it's a triple just, at the end of the day,
it comes because I'm angry and I'm out of control. That's it. The whole story summed up like that. I'm an asshole when I'm not in control. Goodbye. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you both. This has been a lot of fun. I'm not even going to lie. So we have a couple readings. Excuse me. Sorry. We have a couple readings left. I'm going to group them both together. And then y'all will get a couple minutes each if possible, which it's not really like too much readings, as you can see. Page 63, we were now at step three. Many of us said to our maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. Iran, that's you.
Okay, hi, yes. So, just a couple minutes in. First of all, this prayer, this prayer is a mastermind, but it's like, I was talking with someone not too long ago, and we were like, this third step prayer, if we pay attention to what it says, this is a deal, right? God, I offer myself to thee. That's my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my root, everything that I am, the good, the bad, the indifferent, all of that to you, to build with me. That means you're going to tear me down, God. That means I'm going to be prepared to have bad days, good days, and different days to come from the bottom and be rebuilt from the inside out. I'm asking God to do this to me and for me so that I can be useful to him and everyone around me. This prayer is like, that's why I realized that he said, we thought well before we do this, because I've got to be ready to give myself, which means that I'm ready to be good and bad and okay and crazy and like da-da-da, but I'm ready to give myself. That means take actions that are outside of myself in spite of everything that's coming my way, which is going to next launch me into the simple idea of like, if I'm willing to do that, all right, God, house cleaning, I got to get rid of this stuff so that you can really restart the rebuilding with me. I'm going to get rid of this stuff by taking the actions. I've got to realize that at this point in my life, God, I'm ready to try something different, because everything I've tried up to this moment, I am definitely powerless over alcohol. My life has become unmanageable. I can believe that no human power can relieve me of that. And I'm now ready to seek you in any way possible. And that means the first way to seek you is to get rid of this stuff inside of me. That means I'm going to take some actions and tell the truth about myself, the truth to some other human being. So I love this program and what it's done for me. Thank you so much, Amy, for inviting me. And if you're new, please find someone who's properly on with the facts about themselves. This means they know that once they start, they cannot stop, and they have a mind that will constantly get them drunk, who's willing to take you through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I have found to be in the book named Alcoholics Anonymous, one step at a time. And if you're new, please come with a WWA. That is a well-whipped ass.
You're not allowed to say ass in this. Just saying. Yeah, the prayer is beautiful. The wording, the writing, it's moved me since I read it on my knees with a grown ass man in his fucking living room for the first time. I was moved, man. It took me, and I realized at that point, like, it's all or nothing, right? Because I was dying. I was gonna die. My best friend had just died 4 months earlier, and I was like, this is it, man. I got nothing else. AA or die drunk, you know, one or the other. And this seemed easier, I guess, at the time. And then next we launched on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which was a personal house cleaning. That's setting you up for step four. That's a bitch. It was miserable. I hated it. I hated every second of it because it was, again, holding a mirror up to myself. But that's next week. If you're new, it's not that hard. People make it way more complicated than it needs to be. It's just a willingness to just do it, to say, I'm miserable enough. If you're not miserable enough, good luck, you know, go drink. I hope you the best. I hope you can do it, man. I got faith in you this time, but we'll be here if you really want to do something. And if you need a sponsor, there are plenty of men and women who are willing to just give themselves to you. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world, because when you call them, they answer. And when I got here, no one would answer my phone calls. It was miserable. And now I have people who call me nonstop, and it makes me angry because I'm trying to sleep all the time. And it's that simple. Just do it. It's not hard. Again, thank you for having me. This used to be my home group. I really appreciate the fact that you guys are still here. You guys are the best. Thanks.
Thank you both so much. In a few, I'll let everybody unmute. I love you both. That was awesome. Appreciate it. And thanks for everybody bearing with us through our technical difficulties tonight. all right. Seventh Tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, while contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses. The Seventh Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And the PayPal link for donations is in the chat. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place and encourages each person here to contribute and contribute to a welcoming, fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Apparently, I can't read anymore. All right. Are there any AA-related announcements? I can take a couple, and you're able to unmute. David?
Alcoholic David, I just released the permissions on the chat. So if anybody wants to put their number out there, or if anybody wants to ask somebody else for a number, you can chat privately. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there another hand up? Grant. Can you not unmute right now? Where did you even go?
God. There I am. I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, there's this new group in the area, Mid-Atlantic Group. They meet on Thursdays at 6:45. Zoom information's in the chat. The speaker this week is Sarah H. from Los Angeles. She's extremely funny. She's a young person in AA. Well, she got sober as a young person in AA, and it'll be a great time. So come out and join us. It's half participation, half speaker. It's a lot of fun. See you guys hopefully on Thursday night. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. All home group members, please raise their hands. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here in this Zoom room after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And if you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. In closing, I want to give big thanks to our awesome panel tonight. And in a minute, we'll say a prayer. But first, Seth has kindly said he would read the last two paragraphs on page 164. I'm about to throw those up there for him. Righty. All right, it's you, Seth.
You guys hear me?
Yep.
All right, A Vision for You, Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you can find and join. Can you go up? Can you scroll up, Morgan? Sorry. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Seth. And we will close this up with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Iran. I'm trying to make it so everybody can unmute.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Iran. Thanks, Calvin.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
both so much. Thank you, Calvin. It was awesome.
Thanks, guys.
For having me.
Love y'all, for real.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know what this was, but my technical difficulties were tonight, so thanks, everybody, for bearing with me there.
I talked to that same squirrel one time.
Did you?
I have
to. You got a cat story. I had those lines.
Beautiful. Cats know when you're hallucinating. Just saying.
They're half in, half out all the time anyway.
Oh, my God.